Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:27 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is April 27th, and it was a big day today in terms of earnings. And some four big companies released their earnings after the close. You had Google, which beat estimates. Then you had Facebook, excuse me. Then you also had Amazon, which came in ahead of estimates. Microsoft came in a little behind, and Intel came in pretty much on par, but announced a $10 billion buyback. Now, Google has broken on the upside this week, and that suggests the market has been anticipating that it was going to come in with strong earnings. This has been so far a pretty impressive earnings season, and that's important because the market needs earnings to improve. When we think about the fact that so many people are talking about the fact that the corporate profits have been rather stagnant, but also the fact that we are at valuations which are historically rather rich, then what we need to see is for corporate profits to continue to improve. Well, Google continues to move on the upside. Facebook, which did not announce earnings today but has got a pretty similar pattern here, it is extending its advance, and it is moreover extended relative to the trend mean than at any time in the last few years. So this is certainly a pickup in the pace of its advance. Amazon, which is another iconic share, was up almost $10 today and continues to extend its advance. Now, when we look at U.S. corporate profits, I'm just going to type in this ticker, and we'll get an idea of what that looks like. Now, this is not updated particularly often. The last time it was updated was at the end of the year. But corporate profits are close to all-time highs. What I think a lot of fundamental analysts are worried about is the fact that they really haven't gone anywhere for much of the last 4 years. So it is important that these big companies are surprising on the upside, and that is certainly something that I think a lot of investors will be taking some comfort from. When we look at the major indices, the S&P 500 has been holding here in the region of its peak. It has not yet broken out, and it was off its peak a little bit in here. Now, part of the reason for that is because while we had some very large tech companies making headlines today with their earnings, what we also saw is, for example, companies like Ford, where they have made announcements because it's been kind of disappointing for them, because they have been investing a lot of money in trying to appeal to a tech-savvy consumer who wants autonomous vehicles and electric vehicles, which isn't exactly in the wheelhouse of some of these auto manufacturers. So this is still a pretty well-defined medium-term downtrend for Ford and indeed for GM. And they have announced that it is going to take them a while longer to retool, that they are investing quite heavily in autonomous vehicles and in electric vehicles, but that it is going to take them time to come through with some profits from those sectors. Tesla, which is the totem of the electric vehicle market, continues to hold its breakout. Now, it is overbought in the short term. I think that is something that we can say for a number of these shares. And so far, it has been relatively steady above this psychological $300 level, which represents the new all-time high. At the other side of the equation are the auto parts retailers. If the trend is towards electrification, then there isn't half the parts in these electric vehicles, and that represents quite a significant challenge for these types of companies, and not least because the sales of automotives has been tapering off. So then that is also a bit of a challenge here. And O'Reilly and AutoZone have got type 3 top formation characteristics, and they were subject to quite a degree of volatility in here today. Now, O'Reilly was able to recoup the vast majority of its pullback, but it has got some work to do before it can break the progression of lower rally highs. When we look at the commodity sector, then the oil price was down almost a dollar at one point today, but was able to recoup the vast majority of it. It has found at least short-term support in the region of the $50 area now. And this is the region of the trend mean. It is the region of the progression of higher reaction lows. If oil was going to find support, this is the area. There is a short-term oversold condition, so there is the potential for an additional bounce. But this continues to represent a volatile, rangy environment rather than a consistent trending environment, and that $60 area continues to represent an area of resistance, not least because any commodity is priced on the marginal cost of production, and there's a great deal of additional supply becomes economic above $60 a barrel. I continue to believe, and I think it's something that we've spoken about in numerous audios, that oil prices have an analog in natural gas. Natural gas collapsed. It had a very impressive relief rally in 2009 and gave way to what has been an incredibly volatile ranging phase, where the trough to peak swings have been in the order of 200%. And natural gas prices are also firming from the region of the trend mean at the present time. When we look at the CCI index, which had broken down and was testing its March lows yesterday, it has is still holding this 400 area, but it really does need an upper dynamic to confirm support in this area. The bright spark, or the bright points in the commodity complex, are the industrial metals. Copper continues to exhibit a first step above the type 2 bottom characteristics. This is a type 2 bottom with right-hand characteristics in the terminology of the chart seminar. And it bounced over the last week from the region of the 200-day moving average. And as long as it is holding above that $2.50 area, I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. One of the reasons that the mining sector was in negative territory today, despite the fact that we had a reasonably positive environment in the industrial metals, is because of iron ore. Iron ore prices have pulled back really quite sharply over the last 4 weeks, but there is at least tentative evidence that a low of at least short-term significance has been found, and if it can bounce and sustain a move above the trend mean, that's likely to add a tailwind to the mining sector. The FTSE 350 mining index, which is a characteristic of mining shares globally, has pulled back to the region of the trend mean, and this is about where it should find support if indeed that is what it's going to do. When we look at the gold price, then gold was down again in here today, but it not in the dynamic fashion. It continues to hold this $1,250 area, and as long as it can continue to hold this progression of higher reaction lows, then the potential for higher lateral ranging can probably be given the benefit of the doubt. The clear outperformer in the precious metal sector is palladium, and it was up an additional $9 in here today. It has had has been subject to some volatility over the last year, but it has held this progression of higher reaction lows, and continues to push through this $800 area. And I think as long as it is trading above the trend mean, the upside can be given the benefit of the doubt. If we take a quick look at what's happening in the bond markets, then we can see here that the yield is pushed back up to test the lower side of the overhead trading range. The yield has bounced from the region of the trend mean, and this is the first area of potential resistance. It is a rather big question from the perspective of bond investors, what happens from here. I've continued to contend that if this is indeed the absolute low and that we are completing the top formation, then the buy and hold strategy, excuse me, the buy the dip strategy in the bond markets will have to be seen to fail, and that would necessitate a move to new reaction lows or a new recovery high for the yield, and most particularly above 3%, then some big questions would be asked about, would have to be asked about the consistency of the secular trend, even from the most ardent of the bulls. The total return index has been a bit firmer, and I think that this continues to represent probably the best way to think about the bond markets, because bond investors generally tend to be total return investors, and the index is now back above its trend mean. It has broken up out of this range. It will need to fail. It will need to pull back and back below the trend mean and break to a new low to confirm top formation completion. And we are at a point where, despite the fact that the stock market continues to rally higher, the bond market is pretty suspicious that the Fed is not going to raise rates again this year. And if that is indeed the case, then they are really betting that inflation is not going to take hold. So right now, 2-year yields are at 1.25%. So there is no urgency in the bond markets to price in additional rate hikes. And today we also had some news out of the ECB. Mario Draghi remains really quite dovish. The ECB's favored inflation measure is at about 1.6%, and their target is about 2%. So there is no great urgency for them to withdraw any of the stimulus that has been added into the market over the last few years. But nonetheless, particularly the German contingent on the ECB Council will be continuing to pressure for withdrawal. The last thing that they want is to see inflation get out of control, but there's little chance of that in Europe. With nearly 10% unemployment and a great deal of spare capacity, the outlook for inflationary measures to take off in any kind of sustained way against a background where you have such a strong fiscal austerity program, I think looks really quite unlikely. I think the more likely scenario is that the boost that we've seen in inflationary pressures has been because of the big move that we had in oil last year, and the chances are that that is going to wash out of the statistics this year. The euro has sustained a move above 108. It continues to hold that. It has failed to sustain moves above that level on a number of occasions since early December. I think short-term traders will be quite keenly aware of that fact and will be watching it quite closely. But from the perspective of a medium-term bull of the euro, it is the progression of higher reaction lows will be more important, and those are closer to 106. So there is a short-term overbought condition. The best thing that could happen is that we get a little bit of consolidation before it can really sustain an additional move higher. When we look at the European stock markets, they were a little bit weaker in here today, but not in a dynamic fashion by any means, and they continue to hold the breakout that we had on the French election result. It is going to be hotly contested, and a week is a long time in politics, but the market is still betting that Macron is going to win. Theresa May is becoming somewhat combative on the hustings, but that has been positive for the pound, and it is up to 129. Hasn't seen that 129 level since at least September of last year. And when we look at that on a weekly chart versus the dollar, maybe Trump is getting his wish, and he doesn't want a strong currency, and he does not appear to be getting it. This is a pretty impressive move by the pound, and if it can hold it, we can conclude that this is a base completion. And that I think what a lot of people do not seem to bear in mind is that the pound has been trending lower for 3 years already. A great deal of bad news has already been priced in, and that the Brexit decision represented an acceleration of what was already a well-developed medium-term trend. And there is increasing evidence that this might indeed be over. And a clear downward dynamic would be required to question that conclusion that this breakout is continuing to be extended. Now, when we cast the net further afield, China continues to make headlines about its deleveraging. But the stock market has finally found some support, and it has been able to rally off its lows in here today and in a dynamic manner. And when we look at that on the weekly chart, then this is the progression of where the progression of high reaction lows is. It is the region of the trend mean, and it is about where support was going to be found if this managed higher to lateral ranging was going to be reasserted. The H share index continues to be reasonably steady here above the 10,000 level. With Wall Street really quite firm, it is continuing to act as a positive leash effect on the rest of the economy. I think the global economy. The Australian index has been closing in on this 6,000 level, and this has been a pretty steady consolidation over the last 4 weeks. And really, it would be a sustained move below the trend mean would be required to really question that this isn't going to continue to move higher. And the banking sector continues to represent a positive influence on that index. The Nikkei was mildly negative in here today, and it is taking its cue very quite squarely from both the weakness of the yen and the strength of Wall Street. The yen was not able to hold on to all of its decline in here today, but it continues to fall back from this 110 level. It is now approaching the progression of low, the dollar is approaching its progression of lower rally highs. An additional rally from here would really confirm that the dollar has found support, the yen resistance in that 110 level. And I think with that I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.